Yes, it's Martin Zender here again on the cutting edge of truth. Oh, it hurts to be on the cutting edge of truth. On the cutting edge of truth, once again, poor Roger. You have to feel sorry for this man, ordering a corpse to rise up and walk, not realizing that without the fullness of the Spirit, it is not meant to happen today. I have a question for you. If the corpse had gotten up and walked, who would have gotten the glory? Anybody? No, not the corpse. No, the corpse wouldn't have gotten the glory. Would have been a celebrity. The corpse would have been a celebrity. I admit that. I think Lazarus, in the Lord's day, he was a celebrity. Everybody wanted to see this guy who had been dead and come to life. Nowadays, wouldn't that be exciting? You could get a tent at the country fair. Come and see Corpse Man! Anybody else? Who'd get the glory if Roger's corpse had come up from the... Yeah. No, that's totally wrong. God, no. God wouldn't get the glory. That's right. Roger would have gotten the glory. We can't be trusted with this kind of manifestation of the Spirit. What happened to Roger is exactly what was supposed to happen, which is humiliation. Once you realize that this is the era of our humbling and our humiliation, then you won't waste time attempting such ill-advised stunts. Me, if I had tried that, you know what I would have done? You know, when you go up and pay your respects to the dearly departed, I would have tried it out in quiet, kind of quiet, private first. I would have said, come forth. I would have snuck up and got close to the ears and rise up from the slab. Just kind of, you know, nudge it a little bit. Don't make a public spectacle of it. Don't rise up and say, in the name of Jesus. No, just psst, get up, get up, get up. And if it didn't happen, I would assume that that was not God's timing. Rise up and walk. What would be the first thing you'd have a corpse do? I'd have him rise up and sign the guest book. That's what I would say. Rise up and sign the guest book. I told you I was going to tell you about the time Melody and I were in Oklahoma City. Well, we weren't in Oklahoma City. We were in Tulsa. I remember now. It was at Oral Roberts University, the campus around there. And I trust you've heard of the Name It, Claim It group. Maybe you haven't. Name It, Claim It says that all you have to do is tell God what you want. And if you have enough faith, God is bound to do it, no matter what it is. And we went to this service because we were staying with friends. Got to tell you this first. These friends we were staying with, they were totally into this thing where nothing should go wrong with you. If there's any problem with you physically, it's your fault because you don't have enough faith. And I remember the guy we were staying with had a headache. I don't know why he had a headache, but he had one, and so it was his fault. So he had to go in his room, and he had to confess all his sins to God to make sure he had a clean slate. He had to really concentrate. He had to focus and say, yes, Jesus, or some kind of formulaic thing to revive his faith, which had obviously flagged. For all I know, the guy ate one of those slush puppies with the ice, you know, how you get the brain freeze. That's not your fault. It's the slushy's fault. This is part of living. It's nothing wrong with your faith that things go wrong with you. It's part and parcel of being a human being in this wicked eon. But anyway, there's Melody and me sitting in this church. This was in 1984 during the time of our transcontinental bicycle ride. That's right. We had arrived in Oklahoma via bicycle from Los Angeles. And we went to church with this couple. And I will never forget the preacher saying, if you only had the faith to believe, you could be the best dressed person in Tulsa. And I just told Melody, I whispered to her, I said, I wish John the Baptist would walk in right now with his ratty clothes and his camel hair and his smelly underarms. Wouldn't that have been great? Here comes John the Baptist. These people would have looked down on him. Where's your faith, boy? They'd have condemned him so fast his locust catcher would have spun. That guy would have been ridiculed, called up to the front. People would have put their hands on him, prayed for him. This poor guy not living up to his potential. Live up to your potential, man. Look at yourself. This man lived on faith in the wilderness. A spiritual man, ho, I'd say that he had a good dose of the Spirit. And apparently he didn't correlate spirituality with being well-dressed or having steak on the Barbie every night. No, this man lived for God. I want to read a passage to you now from Romans chapter 8, verse 35. What shall be separating us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? According as it is written, that on thy account we are being put to death the whole day, we are reckoned as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquering through him who loves us. In all these things, Paul says. Well, they don't believe that in Tulsa, I'm telling you that. Are you afflicted? Are you distressed? Are you persecuted? There's something wrong with your faith. We'll pray you out of it. Paul says, no, no, in all these things we are conquering through him who loves us. People think that when they're afflicted, God doesn't love them. Or when they're distressed, God doesn't love them. But it's not true. The love of God is constant and steady. And look at this. On thy account, we're being put to death the whole day. Sometimes that's just the way it is. Paul said he learned to be content in every circumstance. Sometimes things are going good for you, and sometimes things are going not so good for you. It's not your fault. It's not because your faith is high one day and low the next. That is false. The truth of the matter is that this is God's dictation for your life. He decides when you need humbled and when you need a good shot of encouragement or a nice new pair of Levi's. That's up to him. It's not up to your faith. And by the way, we're saved by Jesus Christ's faith, not ours. Our faith is a gift of God given to us in order for us to grasp the depth of Jesus Christ's faith. I hope that makes sense to you. I am Martin Zender. As always, we'll see you tomorrow.